Topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. Your mighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you don't believe the Almighty exists, then you should be aware that He has said concerning you, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" So if you die as an unbeliever, you will live for a very long time as an ancestor spirit or demon. You won't be able to move except if you're on a human being or an animal or carried by a messenger that you might know as an angel. You could end up in your grave under a whole lot of soil with your rotting corpse. You could end up in all sorts of unpleasant situations. You really do not want to die as an unbeliever. If you have at some level once believed but have done nothing about it, Father has said concerning you, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" So if you die as a believer without any form of relationship, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, the trash heap of heaven. So you really don't want to die without a relationship with Father. The other side of that is that if you really go for it and develop a really close relationship with Him, you could sit on a glorious high throne with great authority for eternity. It's up to you. This program is designed and intended to help you draw closer to Father and be aware of the fact that you can have a relationship with Him. Tonight's program is part one of The True Name of the Creator is Yah. And in that context, the Almighty has said, "If you love me, you will call me by my true name." Father has also said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." The true name of the Creator is Yah. Overview of tonight's broadcast. The broadcast draws on a compilation of writings written over a number of years. Key false names are discussed. The Lord, God, Jesus, and Christ are examined. It is stated that Yah is angry about false names. The name Yah in everyday language, breaking the third commandment, is discussed. The reasons that names are important is discussed. It is stressed that the names do matter. You will be challenged on the state of your relationship with the Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I was a strategic management consultant in South Africa for about 25 years, and I'm currently a business executive and consultant in the United Kingdom. I have over 26 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March 1993, when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that He was real. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle that I use for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's End Time Issue Ministries, one word, for more information. Questions from last week's program. Jan asked, how do you know Adam was that tall? A chap by the name of Ron Wyatt found the place where the Ark of Noah came to rest, found the house of Noah and grave of Noah, and found that Noah was 18 feet tall. We infer that Adam was at least that tall, possibly taller. Jim asks, where did you find his real name? Well, the real name of the Almighty is actually embedded in the Hebrew of the so-called Old Testament. If you go to the original Hebrew, it's in the form of the phrase Yahweh or Yahweh, and we'll discuss that in detail tonight. Jim also asked, then how did we get all of the other names for him? Complex situation, there's all sorts of distortion, all sorts of demonic interference, people making compromises out of fear and result of persecution. Very complex story. But it's all part of the degradation of human beings over the centuries. And we'll talk about this in some detail in this program. Not so much how we got to it, but what they are. Grace asks, what is the Bible if it's not the Word of God? The Bible is an authoritative reference book. It contains a lot of relevant history about anointed people. That's it. About 2.5% of the Bible is inspired, or if you like, conceivably the Word of God, or the Word of the Almighty. Grace also asks, so you should not give to your church? Well, frankly, if you're really seeking to serve the Almighty, you should get out of the church. You should not be giving to a church that is teaching false doctrines and error. So for the majority of people, get out of the church. Pam says, so you're saying that there's no such thing as the mark of the beast? There's no physical mark. The microchip is not the mark of the beast. It's simply a microchip. The mark of the beast is a spiritual mark in the forehead and in the hand. In the forehead, because behind the forehead is your brain, where you think wrong things, break the commandments, and in your hand, because that's where you enter into contracts, that's where you sign things, that's where you write. So that's the mark of the beast. Pam also asks, why do we go to church on Sunday if it's Saturday? For the same reason we've got all the other names. Through history, since the time of Yeshua, Jesus, things have got corrupt. About 600 years after Yeshua died, the church decided to cut their ties with the Jewish religion and decided to make the Sabbath Sunday instead of Saturday. There's plenty of information about this on the internet if you have a look. Basically breaks the commandment. So we're going to go on tonight to the true name of the Creator is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, and we're going to look at a compilation of writings over a number of years. There's also a major article on the website called The Name of Yah in the Bible, where there are literally dozens and dozens and dozens of names in the Hebrew that contain the name Yah. So, for example, Eliyah, Elijah, meaning my beloved mighty one is Yah, and so many other names. The true name of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and earth is frequently represented as Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, more correctly Yahweh, Y-A-H-O-O-E-H, which is an inaccurate anglicization of the true essential name of the Almighty, which is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Yah's true name is very important to him, just as my name, James, is important to me. I do not answer to John or any other name. I do not even answer to Jim or Jimmy, which is commonly used abbreviations of James. This broadcast contains substantial information about the true name of the Almighty and its significance historically and in understanding the historic writings in the Bible and elsewhere. This information and the use of the correct names is vital to clearing up massive confusion that exists among believers as well as the world at large. Many years ago, I was first exposed to teachings about the name of the Almighty Creator and his servant Yahushua. You might know him as Jesus. I asked the Father if it was important to make the adjustments necessary to use names that were entirely unfamiliar and quite difficult to pronounce. His reply was simple. James, how would you like it if your wife called you by the name of your worst enemy? It took me some years to fully comprehend the significance of this statement in the context of a number of key false names, which we'll discuss in a moment. Folks, think about it. If your name's John, you wouldn't respond if somebody called you Peter. Or if your name's Anne, you wouldn't respond if somebody called you Jane. You wouldn't know they were talking to you. And if something happened that you knew they were talking to you, you would either ignore them or you would probably quite abruptly correct them. We're talking here about the Almighty Creator and his servant Yeshua, who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How can it be okay to not call them by their right names? How can it be okay not to get their names correct? Think about it. So looking at false names, one is the Lord in the Old Testament, in most Bibles, capitalized, capital L-O-R-D. The correct form of that in English is Yahweh, which actually means Yah, the eternally self-existing. So wherever you read the phrase, the Lord, in capital letters in the Bible, specifically the Old Testament, you should replace it with Yah, the eternally self-existing. The name the Lord substituted over 7,000 times in the Bible for Yah, the eternally self-existing, or Yahweh, or Yahweh, is actually an accurate translation of Baal, the Lord, a major demonic mastermind and pagan, that is, Satan worshipper, God. The use of the term the Lord in the context of Yeshua, Jesus, in the New Testament, coupled to the Lord in the context of the Creator in the Old Testament, has contributed to the massive confusion that sees Yeshua being equated with Yah by most believers, thereby breaking the first commandment, which is Yah, the eternally self-existing, is one mighty one. You shall have no mighty ones beside him. Folks, this is so important. Because of persecution and wrong thinking and other stuff, way back when the Bible was originally translated into English, these substitutions were made. I can't tell you exactly why they were made. I do know that when the Bible was first translated into English, there were people burned at the stake and beaten up and put in jail and what have you. So they may have chosen to stay with the conventions that were more widely in use there, just to, in some hopes that they would avoid persecution. What they didn't understand was what they were doing was sin, and that made them vulnerable to persecution and vulnerable to execution. Next false name, God. The correct form of the Hebrew that's translated God is the Almighty or Mighty One, depending on context. God is the name of a Germanic demonic entity or God, and its substitution for the underlying Hebrew word, which is Elohim, which translates as Mighty One or Mighty One, lowercase or uppercase, depending on context, has given rise to major confusion. Insofar as Yahushua is a mighty one, he is a God, but he is not the Almighty Mighty One, who is Yah, the eternally self-existing. So again, probably for the same reasons I mentioned with regard to the Lord. God has come into common usage. It's even been taken on board as the correct translation by Jews and Muslims, who, when they're putting things in English. Huge error. Leads to a lot of misunderstanding, because there are passages in the writings that refer to people who really are mighty ones, really are gods, who are not Yah. It's also so that Yeshua is a mighty one, as I've just said. He is the mightiest human mighty one. So he is a god. But he is not Yah. God is not synonymous with Yah. It should not be used for Yah. In fact, God should not be used at all. It's just the wrong thing to do, and it clouds our understanding. Next false name, Jesus. The correct form of the original Hebrew is Yahushua, Yahushua. There are various transliterations, but this is the most accurate. The man commonly referred to as Jesus was a Hebrew from Yehuda or Judah, and therefore a Yehudite, therefore, in other words, a Jew. He was given the same man as the man who led Israel or Israel into the land of Israel, commonly and inaccurately referred to as Joshua. Both men were actually called Yahushua, which means Yah is salvation. So in the Old Testament, you will find several Joshuas, but they're actually Yahushuas. And in the New Testament, Jesus is an inaccurate, completely inaccurate translation of Yahushua. Use of Jesus and ignorance of the true name Yahushua, which directly evidence that the person bearing the name is not the Creator, since Yahushua refers directly to the Creator, saying Yah is salvation, has also given rise to major confusion. So we get that Jesus is salvation. No. Yah is salvation. Yahushua, Jesus' name, means that. So the concept of salvation is embedded in the name. And Yeshua came to bring salvation. But he brought salvation through the ministry of the Spirit of the Almighty Creator, Yah, the eternally self-existing. Jesus is also a pagan name that relates to Zeus, blessed of Zeus. Zeus is another demonic mastermind and pagan, in other words, Satan worshipping God, Almighty One. So important. Please don't call him Jesus. It's really a gross insult. Another false name, Christ. The correct form of that is anointing or anointed. The incorrect translation of references to the anointing of the Spirit of Yah as Christ and references to people who are anointed ones as Christ has further given rise to massive error and confusion. Yeshua, the man filled with, that is, anointed with, the Spirit of Yah, was an anointed one, that is, a Christ. And thus, Jesus Christ accurately translates as Yahushua, the anointed of Yah. And again, clearly evidences the distinction between the man Yahushua and the anointing of Yah, the Christ. It is thus apparent that it was the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, that is the Christ, that performed the miracles through the man Yahushua. This error contributes in a major way to the confusion with regard to the identity of Yahushua through people equating Christ with Jesus. Added to this, there are other translation errors. There are a number of different Greek words translated Christ. So you get Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, Christ. And people think they all refer to Yahushua, because Christ also means anointed, is also used to describe the anointed one at times. So Christ Jesus is the anointing of Yahushua, of Yah that was upon Yahushua. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through the anointing of Yah that strengthens me. Anywhere you see Christ, it's referring to Yah, not to Yahushua. causes such confusion. Need to use the correct language. With this understanding, it is apparent that the true meaning of the word Christian is one anointed with the Spirit of Yah, from which we discover that very few of the people who call themselves Christian are in fact anointed ones. And from this we see that the religion known as Christianity, correctly, the religion of the anointed ones, is false and fraudulent in terms of the vast majority of those who adopt that label. And therefore, since the vast majority of Christians are, in strict terms, unbelievers, note that worship of Jesus is pagan, that is satanic and not from Yah. This makes broad-based Christianity a pagan, that is, Satan-worshipping religion. The fact that there are some Christians who are anointed ones does not make the religion acceptable. Yah has been speaking for decades, telling those who truly love him to come out of her, my people. Note that this is not just the case with Christianity. Islam is also way off the mark. The vast majority of people who call themselves Muslims are not true believers. The same way that the vast majority of people who call themselves Jews are not true believers. In each religion, there are true believers, and in other groupings and religions, there are true believers. So there are Hindus who are true believers. There are yogis who are true believers. And. It's about relationship, folks. It's about true belief in the existence of the Creator. You can be in whatever religion you like, but the religion is off the mark. You need to get out of it and focus on growing your relationship directly with your Father in heaven. Once all these deceptions have been understood and moved out of one's daily life, one can begin to develop a deep personal relationship with the Almighty Creator and cease sinning. Note that if you do not know that the true name of the Almighty is not possible to keep the third commandment, which correctly is, you shall not take the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing, your mighty one, in vain. Once you know that his name is Yah, you will know that words like Yahoo, Yah, Yah, Yahwol, etc. are blasphemous and should be avoided at all costs. It is not possible to fully understand the historical writings, i.e. the Bible, etc., without understanding this truth. It is also not possible to fully relate to the Creator if one does not know his true name. How do you have a deep personal relationship with somebody without knowing their true name? It's just not conceivable. And the fact that people think it's okay to use wrong names because they claim to have a relationship with Father, it's just mind-blowingly off the mark. Folks, I urge you, if you have any care, any desire to end up somewhere good at the end of your life, any desire to please the Creator, you need to start using his correct name, Yah, Y-A-H. In October 2013, I wrote, Yah is angry about names. After posting an article on Is Jesus Zeus, Yah said to me, Son of man, do you see how these people presume to play games with the name of the most powerful created being in the universe? He was referring to Yeshua, and with the name of their Creator. He subsequently said to me, I am angry. These people have no excuse. I extended grace to previous generations because very few had access to the truth and the persecution was so severe. Today they have the internet and they can research without hindrance. They have turned against me. So shall I now turn against them. Folks, it's so important to understand that the whole dispensation changed in 2003 when Satan was cast into the pit. The structure of the satanic and demonic forces changed. They no longer had Satan in command. They ended up after a whole battle with seven demonic masterminds forming a junta that control 100 billion demons, billions of messengers, angels, and a whole lot of satanic servants. The rules changed. Grace had to be withdrawn a couple of years before that, because Satan could not be sent to the pit if people were still in error, and there had to be one person free of error to pray for Satan to be judged, to read the charges, and command that Satan was sent to the pit. It only happened very, very narrowly. Let's talk about Yah in everyday language, breaking the third commandment, based on an article written in 2009. At the time of writing, I had emailed a number of people with Yahoo email addresses to caution that this name is very close to the true name of our Almighty Father, Yah or Yahweh, advising them to obtain an alternative email address, as I was convinced that the word Yahoo breaks the third commandment, not to take the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing, in other words, Yahweh or Yahweh, in vain. One of the people I emailed replied, thanking me and pointing out that a word sounding very similar to Yah is regularly used in English for yes. And I then realized that the Afrikaans word for yes, Yah, also sounds the same, as do words for yes in other languages. It seems to me that one should seek to avoid using words that sound like Yah in any language, as it is possible that the forces of darkness have inserted these words into common usage in order to trick as many as possible into breaking the third commandment. Folks, part of what the demonic and satanic forces are up to is to get the entire human population of the earth into such sin that they cannot call for Yeshua to return at the end of the millennium. Their goal is to get everybody to deny the Creator. And they will do whatever they can to trip us up, trick us. You have to be selective who you listen to, what you read, and be discerning. There's a huge amount on my website, about 1,000 web pages. Over 9,000 pages of A4 pages of text that you can look at, and the books are available to download on the website as well. Talking about why names are important, an article in September 2013, I wrote, various people have written to me to take issue with me regarding the names that I've been advocating. Arguments include, I've called him Jesus since I was a child, and he knows how much I love him. And Father knows my heart. He does not mind what name I use. And Father is bigger than that. And grace. Someone else had argued linguistically against the assertion that Jesus is derived from Zeus. And so people argue intellectually against something that is not intellectual. When I was young, some of my friends called me Jim, a common abbreviation for James. I resisted strenuously, and even today will scarcely acknowledge anyone who addresses me as Jim. I know that my name is important to me, and it upsets me when people distort it. Folks, if you are playing games and saying, oh, Father knows how much I love him, he doesn't mind if I call him God or the Lord or whatever. Think about it. If someone you love did that to you, you'd be pretty upset, wouldn't you? I think you would. Most people would. really ask you, please use the right words. Continuing what I wrote there, when I speak in countries where the language is not English, they always introduce me as Dr. James Robertson. The pronunciation may sometimes not be familiar, but they never suggest that they should translate my name. When I first became aware of the fact that the names God, the Lord, and Jesus were inaccurate, I asked Father about it. His reply, James, how would you like it if your wife called you by the name of your worst enemy? I stopped using the names I had used all my life. It was a battle at first, but I'd got the message and I worked on it. It also took me time to get to the transliterations that Father said were most accurate in modern English. But I'd got the message, and Father was blessed by the fact that I tried and it brought him joy. Finally, Father led me to transliterations that virtually no one recognizes, but they are, what he says, are most accurate, and he should know. Subsequently, after someone had written to me telling me about how much they loved Jesus and how Father understood their use of Jesus, Father said to me, if your wife insisted on calling you by the wrong name after you had made her aware that she was using the wrong name and that the name was offensive to you, you would divorce her, wouldn't you? I agreed. And Father responded, and so I divorce them. Folks, there's been a huge shake-up in the last 17 years, 18 years. Things are not the way they were in the 1980s and 1990s. The simple fact is that the fundamental name of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and earth is Yah, amplified as Yah, the eternally self-existing, frequently represented as Yahweh, and more correctly, Yahweh. And the name of the prophet from Nazareth is Yeshua, not Jesus. Depending on which source you rely on, you will find Yah throughout the so-called Old Testament. If you hold the Bible to be important, then you owe it to Yah to call him by his correct name. Derived from the above, it becomes apparent that Yahu is a derivative of the name of the Almighty. That is, Yahu as in an exclamation of excitement, as also in xxx@yahoo.com, which Yah says is a blasphemous name and a name that is deeply hurtful to Yah when used by believers. I'll share in a minute how I know that. Please get this. So important. The whole dispensation has changed. Yah extended grace up to 2001, to a lesser extent 2003. Because of the corruption and all the wrong thinking and what have you that came out of the dark ages, when people fell away and not many true believers remained. And then there was the renaissance, the renewal, revival, if you like. And we grew closer to Father. We got more informed. And then the internet came along. And now if you want to check out what I'm saying, you can go on the internet and verify pretty much everything that I'm saying, but you'll need discernment because there's so many different conflicting views. So how do I know this? Some years ago, back in 2010, Yah indicated to me that someone who was very close to him should cease using their yahoo.com email address. I advised them accordingly, and they rejected the message. By doing this, they opened the door for massive demonic attack on their ministry and themselves. At the time it happened, I saw Yah in tears, racked with grief that this person whom he loved so much cared so little that they would continue to abuse his name once they'd been told the truth. Shortly after that, I was asked to communicate the same message to another person who had a Yahoo Groups community that had been running for the order of 10 years with a huge store of articles, etc. This man immediately agreed to cease using Yahoo.com and move to another service provider with great personal inconvenience and sacrifice. At the time this man made the decision, I saw Yah in tears of joy that this man, who had so little, loved so much that he was willing to sacrifice even the little he had to please his Father in heaven. So I say to you today, do you love the Almighty Creator enough to cease using pagan names and bring him joy? Or are you going to hurt him and give him pain? Folks, it's a big decision. If you're sitting on the fence, I encourage you to firmly come down on the side of using the correct names. Another article in March 2013, Names Do Matter, Yah and Yeshua. I wrote at the time, there's all sorts of debate about the true name of the Almighty Creator, commonly known as God or the Lord, and the true name of the Prophet of Galilee, commonly known as Jesus. By extension of the articles published at that time, there's only one way to find the true names, and that is by praying for guidance and fasting until one comes to a place of personal revelation through the leading of the Spirit of the Almighty. Intellectually, one can reason that Yeshua, in brackets Jesus, was a Jew or a Hebrew, and that it is therefore reasonable for him to have a Hebrew name. One can extend this argument to the effect that the name of the Almighty in the form of Yah permeates the Hebrew language and the names of Hebrew men and women, and in words such as Hallelujah, Jeremiah, Elijah, Yahushua, Mattatiyahu, Yahuchanan. So many different words contain Yah, if you go back to the original Hebrew. One can find oneself battling to defend one's position against arguments that say that Jesus did not speak Hebrew or even Aramaic, etc., etc., etc. There is so much wrong thinking, folks. There is so much contradicting information. There is so much deception and error. It takes time to sift and get to the truth. I've spent years doing that. There's a huge amount on the website that I believe to be reasonably accurate and reasonably reliable and reasonably anointed and reasonably inspired. It's a good place to start. Continuing, alternatively, you can pray for guidance, pray for judgment, pray for correction. Go on multiple fasts, explicitly seeking truth. And after some time in my experience, probably after some years, you will eventually come to a settled assurance that you have really heard the Almighty clearly, and it really does not matter what academic arguments or rationalizations are offered, you know the true names. I claim to have been at that point for many years now. The fundamental essential name of the Almighty Creator is Yah, and is most accurately represented in English as YAH. The name of the Prophet commonly referred to as Jesus is Yahushua, which means Yah is salvation. The common Hebrew form of Yahweh, YHWH, frequently transliterated as Yahweh, YAHWEH, is more accurately transliterated Yahweh, YAHOOEH, and means Yah, the eternally self-existing, and is a statement of one of the essential characteristics of the Creator. God is a totally inaccurate transliteration. It's not even a transliteration, it's not even a translation, it's a substitution of the Hebrew Elohim, or Aramaic Elah, and Arabic Allah, which means mighty one, or mighty one in lowercase, and is a pagan and blasphemous name that the Almighty hates, but extended grace for. This grace was withdrawn in January 2001. So important to understand that the name Allah occurs in the Bible. It's Arabic. It means Elohim. It's the same as the Hebrew Elohim. Allah, Allah, Elohim, which means a mighty one, or in the case of the Almighty, the Almighty. So the Muslims worship Allah, the Almighty, and others talk of God, and we're confused because we're not calling him who he really is, Yah. The Lord is an accurate translation of Baal, satanic, demonic power, and bears no relation to the Hebrew Yahweh that it is used to represent. And it is the Lord is also a pagan and blasphemous name that the Almighty hates. But again, he extended grace for this in the past, which was withdrawn in January 2001 and fully withdrawn in 2003. Yah for yes in Afrikaans, Yahwol in German, Yahoo.com, etc. are all blasphemous names, and there will be judgment for using them. People with Yahoo email addresses should migrate to Gmail or similar. To claim one has a relationship with the Creator and that relationship entitles one to call him other names is insensitive and insulting. Folks, it grieves him, it hurts him. If you have some sort of relationship with him and you're still using these wrong names, I beg you, please stop it today. As I said before, Jesus is derived from Zeus. It means blessed of Zeus. It's a blasphemous name which Yah and Yeshua hate. Grace was also withdrawn for this name in January 2001. The correct words are important if you have any interest in pleasing the Almighty Creator and claim to love him. See the menu item, the Creator's name, Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, at the top of the menu on the website for these articles, and the major article on the name of Yah in the Bible. There are literally multiple tens of names in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, that contain the name Yah. It's well worth reading that article. It's difficult for me to present that article on radio because there's so much complexity in the Hebrew. My Hebrew is not at all strong. You're talking about detailed spellings, etc. I encourage you to go to the website and look for that article and read it. So in closing, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to him right now. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day? Do you allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? And do you adjust your life and your lifestyle and your language and your actions to do only that which is pleasing to him? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend and treat him as you would your best friend? Then the big one. Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? Don't make it up. Don't kid yourself. There are not many people that he regards as friends today. Don't presume that you're his friend. Wait for him to tell you clearly. But going back to the previous points, if you're not doing all these things, you are failing in your life purpose, and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Father wants you to have a deep personal relationship with him. He wants you to be his friend. He wants to participate in every single possible facet of your life. Not an hour on Sunday listening to some surrogate or proxy do the thinking for you, the praying for you, the worshiping for you. He wants you to focus on him every second of every day in every possible way. And in exchange, he will come into your life and he will help you and he will guide you. He will give you wisdom. He will give you healing. He will help you to earn a good living. It's not easy. There's a lot of opposition. But it is so worth it. The reward is huge in the life to come. In terms of this whole message, there are five key documents that I would refer you to. All are available off the main menu on the website. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you near the bottom of the menu. Seven components and drawing close to the Creator near the bottom of the menu. If you've made a decision today to get close to Father, I encourage you to read this article and put into practice everything it contains. It's about 72 pages. There's a lot of information. There are a lot of things to do. It'll take you a few years, but you can get really close to him. Recommended worship near the bottom of the menu, songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, the series that we're dealing with now, at the top of the menu. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? Really important message. All of this available on www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, an article search to locate the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. In saying that, I really want to stress, Father will meet you where you are today. He wants you to become his friend. It doesn't matter how rich or poor you are, how well educated or badly educated you are or not educated at all. It doesn't matter whether you're tall or short, fat or thin. It doesn't matter whether you're blonde or black. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter what your current religion is. It just is not about those things, folks. You don't have to be one of the so-called chosen ones. You can step out today and choose to become his friend, and he will meet you where you are right now. Don't delay. The prize is huge. He's very lonely. He wants friends. Good night.